Thanks so much. Thanks for having me. It's it's great to get a little winter in the winter time. So I want to start. So this is a talk about what's called affine valence in Bernstein, and there were some other words. And so I want to start with a background on the usual valence in Bernstein localization. So on kind of the non-affine setting. So I'm going to take a group G fixed once and for all, so a reductive group. Just going to fix some notation a little bit. So what you should think is that G is GLN, or you're welcome to take SLN if you prefer, or PGLN, or whatever else. B is going to be its Borel subgroup. So these are here the invertible upper triangular matrices. I'll take N to be its radical, which are matrices with ones along the diagonal, which again is contained inside of this Borel. And that's probably all I need to get started. and also take G to be the Lie algebra of G. So here, this would be like n by n matrices with the usual bracket as a Lie algebra, and I have this Borel and this radical. And what I want to study is the representation theory of this setting. So let me give a problem which valence in Bernstein localization solves. So it's to classify G modules with a fixed central character. So it's convenient to say, I'll take the easiest central character I can. So I'll take G mod and I'll write sub zero to be the category of G modules, in other words, G representations with the same central character. As the trivial representation. So what I want to do is kind of, in some sense, classify all of the objects in this category. So does the problem make sense as stated? Okay, so which objects do I know? So by definition, I know the trivial representation. So that's one, but the another object that comes to mind, so just objects we know. So one is, I'm going to write K, sometimes people write C, but this is my ground field. So K, which is the trivial rep. But a somewhat maybe slightly less obvious object, but not so unfamiliar, is the Verma module. So when you study the center of this enveloping algebra, same central character. Here, I should say, this is for the center of the enveloping algebra. When you study this center of the enveloping algebra, there's a rich theory of this due to Harishchandra. And the basic thing that you study in that are the action of the center on Verma modules. And when you think in those terms, you see that there's this object M0, which is in what you get by inducing the trivial representation from this Borel to G. And by definition, that means I take U of G tensor over U of B with the trivial module. And so this is called the Verma module. And it's easy to see that the center acts on this by a character, and the character, well, this thing certainly surjects onto the trivial representation, so the character has to be the same as the trivial representation. And so, like I was saying, this Verma module plays a really distinguished role in the theory. When you study the center, you look at the action of the center on Verma modules. So this fits into a family, and it plays a really key role in just in understanding the center. And so we can think, are there other modules we can imagine? So certainly there are some. I could take direct sums of these, but are there, what else could I do? So let me just give another module, which is slightly less obvious, but not so bad. So I could take B prime, another Borel subalgebra. So that means, basically, instead of looking at matrices that preserve my favorite flag, I look at matrices that preserve a different flag. And then I could take, kind of the Verma for this Borel. So I induce from B prime to G the trivial representation. And this also has the same central character. It's not hard to see. Well, for the same reason. The center acts on it by a character, and it also subjects onto this K, so it has to have the same central character. And roughly, what Balanchine-Bernstein localization says says that all modules M inside of this category are canonically in a suitable sense, direct integral. So let me just put it in quotation marks for the moment, of these modules, these Verma modules, MB prime, zero for varying B prime. So it's a heuristic statement, but I'll make a precise one in a second. Any questions at this point?
No, G mod zero itself.
U of G zero itself? Yes. Yep, I mean, that. Yes?
So I understand the statement you're going for, but you fixed an M, and then this M B prime zero doesn't actually depend on the original M you fixed.
Well, it's a direct integral, so they should be weighted by vector spaces. So certainly I can tensor one of these by a vector space, and just the way usually I would integrate.
So the number. Getting some demodulum on the space of flags and integrating, or?
Yes, exactly. So so here's the more precise assertion. More precisely, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take G mod B, the flag variety of G. So the points of this G mod B are exactly these Borel subalgebras B prime that I was seeing before. And I'm going to take D of G mod B to be the category of D modules on G mod B. So by definition, so for every open inside of G mod B, I know, okay, so sidebar, what's a D module? F on G mod B. So when we think about vector bundles in algebraic geometry, we think that for every open, I know how to act by functions. I know what the sections of my vector bundle are over that open, and certainly I know how to multiply a section of a vector bundle by a function on that open. So what I should have in this case is that for every open, I know some vector space of its sections, the sections of F on here, and I have actions of functions on U, and vector fields on U. So I'll just put vector fields on U. And these satisfy the Leibniz relations. So sorry, these two actions should be compatible.
So M prime itself is a D-module on the flag.
What did you say?
So M prime itself is a D-module on the flag hierarchy if you have M prime.
Well, I didn't. Yes, it corresponds to the skyscraper sheaf. Well, I'll say it in a second. So the fact that G acts on this flag variety gives me a map from its Lie algebra to vector fields on G mod B. And therefore, whenever I have a D module on this flag variety, if I take its global sections, meaning the sections, you know, for the largest possible choice of Ompen, that whole G mod B, so this can be quite degenerate in principle, but this has an action of the Lie algebra G. And there's a check you can do, which is that, in fact, the action of the center, well, it'll automatically have the same central character as the trivial representation. And so maybe I'll state the theorem in a formal version, and then I'll kind of explain what it has to do with what I was saying earlier. So the statement is that if I take this functor from D modules on G mod B to G mod 0, this is an equivalence of categories. And here, I mean sort of both abelian and derived. So it's a little bit ambiguous necessarily what I mean by that, but you know what I mean by my notation, but whatever you plug in for the meaning of the notation, you get a true statement. So what this has to do with what I said before, kind of earlier, the relation with the earlier thing is the following. So a point of G mod B, as I said, is one of these Borel subalgebras, B prime inside of G. And so maybe I'll put a point X. And so whenever you have a point in some variety, there's some canonical D module supported at that point. Which is called the delta D module. It's a kind of, you know, it's like the, if you think about D modules as sort of systems of differential equations, this is the system of differential equations for the Dirac function supported at your point, Dirac measure. And so.
So multiply the value of the point and derivative just takes the derivative freely.
Yeah, exactly. So the sections, yeah, exactly. Yep. And the global sections of this delta x are going to equal this Verma module MB prime, and there's I'm slightly cheating, so there's a twist here that I'm going to ignore. More precisely, there's a minus two rho that I really should have been incorporating all along, and it's my failure. So I just, for these purposes, I encourage you to ignore this because it won't matter later.
The thing's not zero.
It's not zero, yeah. In the setting in which I'm going to talk about this, it doesn't appear. And it should have always been there in the talk, really.
I see.
And so What you can imagine is that in a precise sense, every D module on G mod B, it's a direct integral, kind of by definition of these Dirac, like I say direct integral in a heuristic sense, but you can imagine it's a kind of direct integral of its fibers at all points. And then I'm saying, you know, that the sort of resulting object of G mod B zero is going to be the direct integral of the corresponding Verma modules here.
Is it useful to think about the whole family of MB primes as something which is both a D module and a module?
Both a, you can't do that because it.
If I act on the highest weight by some low operator, that this is like taking a derivative of the highest weight and expect that one to be prime. Yes.
Can you repeat the question?
So, if it makes sense to think about MB, the family of all MB primes as both a module for G mod Z and a D module on G mod B.
Yes. What that thing is the sheaf of differential operators on G mod B. So you have this kind of action on the left of vector fields and so on, and you have this action on the right just by the global vector fields. Yeah, that's what it corresponds to. And there's kind of two directions here. So in fact, the way I emphasize the problem here, I emphasize the, in a sense, weaker part of the problem. So the easier part of the problem to show, in fact, is what I originally said, that this functor is essentially surjective. And the harder part to show is actually that it's fully faithful. So that's a comment. So here, there's directions and there's sort of maps in both directions. So the part that says all modules are obtained as direct integrals of the kind I said is the easier part, but that won't be true for the second theorem I talk about.
So it's not taking home suited with MB prime?
What is it?
One of the two maps taking homes from the module to.
You mean one of the two functors?
Yes, one of the functors.
Yes, that's exactly what the sort of inverse functor is. Yeah. And here it's easy to show that they're adjoint and the content
is. This works even if it's not derived. Or?
It works even if it's not derived, yeah. Yeah, so this is so kind of a miracle is that what you just said, these maps from the MB primes, maybe with the minus two rho, they form a sort of sheaf over this flag variety. It has a connection. It's sort of the fibers are, they only depend on B prime up to infinitesimal translations, and it's not at all obvious that you get it. So if you took that in terms of exts, you actually get an object of the derived, you actually get an object of the abelian category. So there's this object of the abelian category whose fibers are those cohomologies. And the fiber taking the operation of taking a fiber isn't exact. That's what happens here. But it's a sort of miracle that when you take all of those cohomologies that really are genuine cohomologies and you kind of stick them all together onto a space, you get an object of the abelian category. And that's really the localization part, I think, of Valence and Bernstein localization. You take this representation and you localize it onto some geometry by that exact construction that you're saying. Other questions? There's a problem, which is to generalize this. Well, you say find a version for Katz-Moody algebras. So let me just give a quick reminder of the setup. Well, I won't call it a reminder, I'll just do it. So some notation for a second. So I'm going to take G Laurent series T to be G tensor with Laurent series G double brackets T is going to be G tensor with power series. And so if you think about G as just matrices with their usual bracket, these are matrices with Laurent coefficients and their usual bracket. So these are infinite dimensional Lie algebras. And essentially, the problem of doing this for Katz-Moody algebras means finding a version for this loop algebra here of this Katz-Moody localization. But there's an immediate problem, which is that if you take the enveloping algebra in whatever sense you want here, it's going to have trivial center. The only elements of the center will be scalars, well, assuming I had SLN.
So what assumptions are we making on the field K?
Characteristic zero. But I'm not using anything about complex topology, for instance. Nothing analytic in this talk. And so, so the center is trivial, but there's a variant, which is that I can consider projective representations. So the problem, the center here is just scalars. But there's a variant which is to consider projective representations. So let me fix once and for all a form I'll call kappa, which is a symmetric invariant bilinear form on G. So something like if it's SLN or GLN or something, take your two matrices, take their product, and take the trace. Or take the Killing form or any multiple of the Killing form. And this gives rise to a central extension. So I'm going to call it G hat sub kappa. So it's going to look like this as a vector space. But the major property is that if I take two elements of this loop algebra, then they're sort of new bracket, sort of with the kappa involved. I don't know how to write this. With the kappa, it's going to be their usual bracket, just taking the bracket of these matrices with Laurent entries. And then I'll do a funny thing to get a number here. I'm going to take C and first, I'll take the exterior derivative of phi. So I just take the derivative of every term in my matrix. I apply kappa to it. So I took my two matrices. I took their product. I took the trace. And that's a one form on one form with Laurent entries. And then I can take its residue, the coefficient of dt over t. And you can check using the properties I said that this is actually a Lie bracket. And so unlike the finite dimensional algebra, which has no, sort of its projective representations are true representations, this loop algebra has a wide class of projective representations sort of parameterized by this index kappa. And these Kac-Moody representations, I'm a perimeter, I think everyone knows, they come up in a wide variety of contexts, not least of all mathematical physics. And so, so there's a sort of Fagan-Frenkel theory of the center, and so the first part says that the center. Maybe first I should say, when I talk about representations, so I'm just going to say when I take the enveloping algebra here, I force it that modules for this enveloping algebra are the same as kind of these projective representations of G hat of T that correspond to kappa. So in other words, this kappa is a serious input into here. And if I take the center, so the first part is that the center is trivial, so it's just scalars. If, let's say, G is simple for simplicity, and kappa is not equal to what's called the critical level, which by definition is minus 1/2 times the Killing form. So there's some precise numerology here that you have to do some calculation in order to get a feeling for it, but kind of the important thing to know is that the center is trivial except at one value. And they give a precise description. Well, what they said is that the center is large. For kappa being critical. So let me so in other words, that's a hint that it could be possible to have this version of Balanced and Bernstein localization at critical level, because now you can impose a central character requirement, which is really essential for the finite dimensional case. So kind of precisely, they said the following. So it requires introducing some extra notation, and I'm going to try and do as little of it as I can. So precisely, well, I have to introduce some other notation, though, all the same. So there's a group G-check, which is the Langlands dual group. Dual group to G, so if it's GLN, this is again GLN. But it's convenient to think in terms of the Langlands dual for this theory. And so Fagan and Frenkel, actually, it's not right. So Drinfeld and Sokolov introduced a space which I'm going to call op G check. So these are oppers on the punctured disk, which for me is spec of this Laurent series algebra. And there's a G check in front here. So I don't want to give a ton of information here, but let me give a couple salient points. So these are G check bundles on the punctured disk with extra structure. So with a lot of rigidifying structure. With connection and extra structure. So just for example, if G check is GLN, then I have the data of a cyclic vector for my connection. So if those words don't mean anything to you, don't worry, because I won't use them again, but I just want to be precise about what I'm saying. And the other thing is that the other kind of key thing to know is that these oppers form, well, maybe I'll give an example for SL2. So if G check is SL2, so then these oppers are going to be connections of the following form. 0, 0, F, where F, dt, where F is some Laurent series. And so in general, and so this is what it is. It's like matrices of this form with Laurent series entries. And in general, these form an infinite dimensional affine space. Infinite dimensional because I can consider the coefficients of my Laurent series. And formally, it's an in scheme because there's, you know, every Laurent series has a bounded order of pole by definition. So it's a union of schemes. That's the major information I want you guys to know about oppers for a second. Does that make sense? And then part of the major work of Fagan and Frenkel here says that if you take functions on the space of oppers, this is canonically isomorphic to the center of the enveloping algebra at critical level. So this is sort of canonically.
I have a question.
Yes.
I sort of the impression that there is a piece of the Hodgson cohomology of this, this higher Hodgson cohomology, not just H times 0.
Yes.
And I was on the other side, as I've been studying.
So the vertex algebra version of the statement, maybe we should talk about it afterwards, but the at the level of vertex algebras, it's a theorem of Frenkel and Telemann that says that you get differential forms on uppers.
Oh, yeah, I think I know that one. Thanks.
And so I'm going to need a couple of compatibilities. So I have quick construction. Are there other questions? More naive questions? So I'm going to introduce the critical level vacuum representation, which is an analog of a Verma module in the setup. And what I'm going to do is just, again, induce the trivial representation of this subalgebra, G double brackets T, to G hat crit. And then there are some facts. So this is part of the Fagan-Frenkel package. So if I take the center, as Kevin said, non-derivatively, and I map it to endomorphisms. So I'm going to put a heart here to emphasize the abelian category of this critical level vacuum representation. This is surjective. So this is kind of fact one. It's surprising because usually endomorphisms of things are non-commutative. But here, endomorphisms are commutative because it's the quotient of a commutative algebra. And therefore, I can think geometrically also. So I said that this was isomorphic to functions on uppers. And this is going to correspond. So this is the Fagan-Frenkel theorem. And I can ask, which quotient do I get here? So it's the quotient by an ideal, so it corresponds to some closed thing inside of my space of uppers. And what I'm going to end up, so it functions on some space, and what I'll end up with are what are called regular uppers, where I should say, so in other words, this diagram will commute under the Fagan-Frenkel isomorphism, where I should say what regular uppers are. So it's kind of a little bit part of this hierarchy. Maybe I'll put it as number 4. So by definition, these are uppers. So again, G check uppers, whatever uppers are, on the disk instead. So spec of the formal disk. So if I take spec of power series instead of Lorentz series, then these are going to be uppers on there. So in effect, these uppers make sense on any curve for any group, any reductive group. And I'm just sort of plugging in different choices of curves. And so if, again, I take this g-check to be SL2, it's going to be the same as before. So these will be the set of connections of the form like this. But now I'll put the requirement that F is a power series instead of a Lorentz series. So that's just what the difference is. It's sort of super not surprising. And so this is this kind of embedding, the scheme inside of a subscheme. Sorry, a scheme inside of an int scheme. And that's what their assertion is. Right, so I should say, so this thing really is a scheme. It's the spectrum of a polynomial algebra in infinitely many variables. It's like this is an affine space. It's an infinite polynomial algebra, for what it's worth. You know, it's a really concrete thing. And I should say all of these constructions, well, at least up to this point, this is, I'm going to focus on GL2 in a minute and, or eventually, and in GL2, this is all super explicit. You know Sigal Sugawara, this is what you get from Sigal Sugawara at critical level. So let me just give a notation. So I'm going to say a critical level module is regular. So this is the same phrase regular that came up before. So this is going to be the category of critical level Katz-Moody representations with, you know, so I want to say the same central character is the vacuum, but now the vacuum doesn't really have a central character. So the kind of right way to say it is that the Z of G hat crit acts via the quotient like, you know, functions on these regular operators. So in other words, I have some ideal inside of the center of things acting trivially on the vacuum representation. And what I want to say is I take, I require that ideal to act trivially on my modules.
So if I were trying to actually be very analogous with the finite dimensional situation, I would have put an Iwahori there instead of the that bigger parabolic.
Yes.
How much does that change things?
Ask that question again at the end.
Okay.
So the problem is classify modules with, you know, regular central character. And the sort of the hardest part, I would say, of the conjecture of Frenkel-Gates-Gorry, which I'll spell out in more detail in a minute, but is that every such module, so again, this is the sort of heuristic version, every such module is a direct integral of, you know, sort of conjugated vacuum representations. So like before I had these conjugated Verma modules, now I have conjugated vacuum representations. And basically what I'm going to say in a minute in more detail, I guess I don't need my first initial. The theorem is that this is true for GL2. So Frenkel and Gates-Gorry had a big project of studying these critical level Katz-Moody representations, and this was one of the major problems left open by their work, and well, at least now it's known for GL2. So they have a quite robust picture of these critical level Katz-Moody representations, and this is one of the predictions that emerges from it. And unlike the finite dimensional case, here the harder part of the result is exactly this classification part. So, say, so in more detail now. So I'm going to introduce the loop group of G. So these are sort of, you know, what you should think. So this is going to be a big infinite dimensional kind of, you know, algebraic Lie group. What you should think is that these are invertible matrices with Laurent series entries. And kind of the operation of taking Laurent coefficients makes it into an infinite dimensional sort of manifold. What's the question?
Let's talk about a paper that's related to.
Great. So this is going to be the subgroup, the kind of arc subgroup. So it's the same, but Taylor series on trees. So the Lie algebra of this is the loop algebra I introduced earlier. The Lie algebra of this is its, you know, that subalgebra I introduced earlier. Well. And then there's this affine Grassmannian, which is the quotient of the loop algebra, mod the arc subalgebra, and this is an analog of G mod B. Kind of for two reasons. One is that it's a union of projective varieties. So the great thing about the flag variety, I should have said, is that it's a projective variety. And the other thing is that its points are sort of conjugates, again, of the subalgebra inside of the loop algebra. So just like the points of the flag variety were conjugates of the Borel, they were, you know, they were Borel subalgebras. Points of the affine Grassmannian are these, you know, they're sort of all the subalgebras that look like G double brackets T. And so if you take D modules on the affine Grassmannian, and there's a subscript I should put here that you can ignore, which is that they should be critically twisted as well. So this critical matches this critical, and again, just wouldn't worry too much about both of them. So there's, again, there is a category of D modules on this space, and there's a functor of global sections that maps here. And the basic property it has is that it sends the delta D module at the origin to the vacuum representation. That's its defining property. And the first thing you can see is that, kind of, again, based on that and by analogy with the finite dimensional situation, all of the modules you get will have these regular central characters. And so you could ask, is this an equivalence? And the answer is definitely no. So it's definitely not, because that delta D module, by construction, it has endomorphisms which are huge. Well, sorry, the endomorphisms of the delta D module, it's like any delta D module, its endomorphisms are just scalars. Whereas if you take its image over here, you get this vacuum representation that has huge endomorphisms. And so it definitely can't be an equivalence because of that. And that's unlike the Verma situation. The endomorphisms of a Verma are just scalars. So it's unlike the finite dimensional thing in that case. And so you ask, how could I correct this? And so somehow I have to make the endomorphisms over here larger. And so let me just. What was that?
D-modules land on critical.
D-modules land, yeah. So wait, what's the question?
So D-modules land on critical energies.
Yes, that, I put a subscript crit, and that's to make sure of that. So it's like twisted D-modules,
okay.
Really, yeah. So I have this functor, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to upgrade it to a different functor, but that makes the category larger. And so there's a kind of, you know, formal formula of slightly formal nature I can write down, but I'll try to say a little bit about what it means. So basically, the precise version of the Frenkel-Gates-Gorey conjecture is that this functor is an equivalence. So here I'm dealing with categories and tensor products. And first of all, black box, those things make sense, and they're explicit, and they recover usual categorical constructions. I don't want to say too much about it right now. But the major kind of thing here is that I just want to say what the actions are on both sides. So there's a famous functor due to many people called the geometric Satake functor. So Mirkovich Filonin have a very complete write-up of it, and other people, Ginsburg, you know, it goes to Drinfeld and Lustig, and there are a lot of names to say about it. But they constructed a functor to what's called the spherical category. I'm going to put the same crit. So this is some monoidal category, and its basic property is that it acts on D modules on Gur G in a way that commutes with kind of the action over here of the loop group, like whatever these things mean. So I see my left and right are kind of switched, but that's the nature of things. So so that's what my action of rep G check on this category is. So I'm tensoring, you know, sort of a right module for rep G check and a left module for rep G check in this formula. I shouldn't have done that.
Sorry, Sam.
Yeah.
And just to be clear, when you say D modules, you just mean the abelian? Or what do you mean? Like when you want to use Satake here, do you want to use like derived Satake or ordinary?
The way I've written this is it doesn't require anything. So I'm using the existence of a monoidal functor, and it exists at the derived level, and it also exists at the abelian level, and at the abelian level it's an equivalence, but not at the derived level. But the functor still exists. And yeah.
Is the conjecture supposed to hold at which level?
I should say the conjecture is that this is an equivalence, and it's supposed to be T exact. So in other words, it should be an equivalence of both abelian categories and derived categories. And in this infinite dimensional geometry, you have to be slightly careful about some homological algebra issues and precisely how you set everything up, because you know, we can talk about it later. But I mean it, you know, in the sense, and as an equivalence of abelian categories already, it's quite, quite serious.
You told us one action.
Yeah, I was going to tell you the other action. So that was one remark, and still on this remark, so I guess this is A. and B is that, so there's, I guess, from the limited information I told you about oppers, there's a map from here to local systems for G-check on the disk. But this is just like this is a stupid space. Every local system on the disk is trivial. But this is a map for getting structure. Every local system is trivial, but it's non-canonically trivial. So this is, you know, sort of formally, it's a stack BG check. And that gives me a monoidal functor from rep G check to the space of quasi-coherent sheaves here. So this is a symmetric monoidal functor. Kind of formally, what it is like if I have a representation of G check, there's a canonical G check bundle over the space of regular oppers. It's like you take your local system and you take its fiber at the origin, let's say. So that's a G-check bundle on a point, or a G-check bundle on the space of oppers, and I'm just twisting my representation by that bundle in order to get a vector bundle. So it's a sort of favorite construction. It's using the universal G-check bundle on the space of regular oppers. And so it's symmetric monoidal, so definitely this guy is a module for rep G check. And then I guess remark C, given that is that it's a deep theorem of Balanz and Drinfeld. That the functor I wrote makes sense. So I guess I should say, first of all, this category is a module over this quasi-co of operators. So just what that means basically is that, like, this is an affine scheme. Well, so kind of, let's say, modules over an algebra is always a module category for modules over its center. And that's what I'm using here, is kind of because this acts centrally on all modules, like functions on the space act centrally on all modules, it's really a module category over here. But it's not obvious that this functor is kind of compatible with A and B. And that's a deep theorem of Balanz and Drinfeld. So I just sort of... want to acknowledge that, and oh, again, I shouldn't use the board. Well, I guess it's there. Okay, now I'll just kind of repeat my results. So this conjecture is true for GL2, I should say, or any, or SL2, or it doesn't make such a difference which rank one group you choose. The important thing is that it's rank one. And let me just highlight this includes T exactness. Yes, in a way that is sort of suitably compatible with this rep GTEC thing. So, So in other words, if you kind of forget this part, what the functor is exactly what you said. The fact is that when you say it that way, there's a little bit of redundancy, which is that it factors through this action. In other words, if you took a D module and you sort of convolved it with a spherical sheaf, and then took that operation you said, it would be the same as if you sort of had taken your quasi-coherent sheaf here and had tensored it by that vector bundle. And so if I sort of remember that it factors through that quotient, then I get an equivalence. Yeah. And I should highlight the major thing that this accounts for is again these endomorphisms. So that's why I had to make this category bigger. It's large endomorphisms of the vacuum. In a sense, what this has to do with is the self-X of the vacuum. The fact that the equivalence would be wrong otherwise. So I want to kind of outline what the proof is, because in fact it's even without having seen these things before, it's kind of possible to record some information. So so this really builds on previous work. Of Frankel and Gates-Corey. So let me just kind of state what their major results are. So the first part is that this functor I wrote down, let me call it in this form gamma hacke. So it's like this functor that only makes sense because of the Balanz and Drinfeld theorem. I think that's still visible. So all of these results are due to them. So their first theorem is that gamma hacke is fully faithful, derivedly. Their second statement is that gamma hec A is an equivalence when you restrict to I0 equivariant objects. So here, I0 is what's called the radical of Iwahori. So it's what I get if I take G double brackets T. So I look at these invertible matrices with Taylor series coefficients that mod T are strictly upper triangular, well, with in the unipotent sense. And so when I say equivariant, that means on the one hand, so on the module side, that means I'm looking at Harish-Chandra modules, where the action of the Lie algebra of this unipotent group acts integrably. So those operators should act locally nilpotently. So it's a kind of category O-like condition. And on the left-hand side, I require that they be constant along Schubert cells. I should say, part one of the equivalence means that your whole game is essential surjectivity. So that's why I say it's a classification of modules. It's saying every module is in the essential. Like if you take their work, you know, the hard part of the conjecture is that every module is in the essential image of this founder. And then there's also a kind of folk theorem, which is due to me and takes a little bit it was sort of implicit all along, but people didn't really know how to say it, and so it's not the world's best thing, but at least it's there. So in order to say this, I have to introduce a little bit more notation. So I'm going to take a canonical character, which I call psi of this loop algebra. And so for instance, let me say that G was GL2. And so this N is just matrices like this, which is GA. And then what my character does is it sends an element in this sort of GA Laurent series T. So this is just a Laurent series. And I map it to its residue against DT. In other words, I take its minus first Laurent coefficient. And in general, there's some version of this for. For higher order things. And the folk theorem says that in a suitable sense, this gamma hec A is an equivalence on equivariant categories against this psi. And the proof is actually, for people who know these things, it's actually kind of easy to explain. So I should say this construction has a name. So it should be equivariant objects. And this construction has a name. It goes by Whitaker. So I'll use that notation in a second. And this is something I can actually explain the proof of fairly quickly. So maybe I won't write it all out. But so the first thing is that if I take these Whitaker equivariant objects on the Grassmannian, so this is D of Ger G and Laurent series T psi. This is an equivalence by a theorem of Frenkel, Gaitskori, and Volonen to the category of representations of the dual group. They gave a canonical such construction. And then a corollary is that if you take Whitaker of Ger G and you tensor it over rep G check with this quasi-co of oppers, sorry that the notation is so bad, long, what I get is I can just pull the Whitaker inside. I'm tensoring rep G check over rep G check with this. And so I just end up with these quasi-Koa vopers. Like this. What was that?
So before you raise this board.
Yes.
Rep G check is not the thing that appears in the derives attaque.
Right.
So if you were to put in the thing that appears in the derives attaque, I mean, is it essential that it's this and not the thing that appears in derives attaque?
It is absolutely essential that it's this and not the thing that appears in derives attaque. So you would be sort of contracting modules a little bit here. Yeah. In fact, I mean, let me return to that question in just a second. So then there's a general theorem of mine, which is a kind of version of this Scriabin theorem, if you know W algebras. So it says that this is modules over something called the W algebra. And when kappa is critical, the right-hand side are these sheaves on the space of all oppers for the punctured disk via this Fig and Frenkel theory. And so what that tells me is that if I take these, if I then put the critical level in and I take modules, but I impose the regular condition, this is sort of like over there, it'll be quasi-co of oppers. Tensor quasi-co of oppers with quasi-co of regular oppers. And so this is, again, space of regular oppers. And so that shows you that I ended up with the same result for both sides of my equivalence when I apply the Whitaker construction. So that kind of addresses your question. If I had done, like, if I had done like derived satake here, I would get a different answer. So that's a way to test that it can be an equivalence. And so that was sort of what was previously known, ignoring the exactness stuff, but at least to explain why. Where the equivalence comes from, let me just comment on the major kind of new thing here. So all of what I said so far is true for any group. But the kind of main new thing is the following result. So I'm going to be very careful and formulate it for PGL2 instead of GL2. So suppose, but it doesn't matter for these purposes, suppose G is PGL2, and I have what I call a category with an action of the loop group. So an example is D modules on the Grassmannian, or these Katz-Moody representations, or whatever. And this is sort of maybe with level. Then C is the minimal subcategory of itself, such that, so first, it has the following properties. C is closed under the action of this group. And colimits, so just some formal, in other words, direct sums. Maybe infinite direct sums. The second condition is that C contains C. Okay, I'm going to say it's the minimal subcategory C. Any subcategory C naught having the following properties is going to equal C, is the statement. So C contains these invariants for the radical of Iwahori and this Whitaker invariance. And
so the only condition was that C has a G of K action.
Yes.
And this follows.
Yes, and it's true for any kappa, in fact. And so that's the theorem. So as long as you have a category with an action, it's closed under co-limits, and sorry, as long as you have a category with an action, any subcategory that contains its Iwahori invariance and its Whitaker invariance is the full category. So and so let me say there's a bunch of kind of issues in making the strategy work, but the basic idea is that the essential image of the functor that Frenkel and Gates-Gori consider has these properties by their results. The fully faithful functor, its image contains this by their equivalence, and it contains this by the Folk theorem, and so you're done. So again, there are issues, and it involves this T exactness and so on, and this doesn't explain where the exactness comes from, but part of the kind of package that comes along here is the exactness result.
C I naught is the same as Holmes of this category to the modulus on the fan flag.
Yes. Well, yeah, enhanced affine flags. Yeah.
Okay. And similar C in bottom C and D is also Holmes to.
Yes, I would prefer to do the Holmes in the other direction, but yes. Yeah. But yeah, that's what they are. So let me just make kind of a couple remarks. Okay, maybe I'll just make one remark and then let everyone leave. So this is a remark that deserves to be said. So this is an analog of a result in the p-adic setting. It says that if you have a representation of PGL2 of QP, so V is a representation of PGL2 of QP, that's irreducible. Then that implies that either sort of its Whitaker construction is non-trivial, so you're supposed to put N of QP, you're supposed to put co-invariance here for technical reasons, or the restriction of my representation to SL2 of QP is trivial. Or in other words, the representation is one-dimensional is kind of another way of saying the same thing.
You have fixed vectors or Whitaker or that?
I have Whitaker basically fixed vectors or I can put it like this. V to the SL2 of QP is not equal to zero. Which certainly implies that this, like they have the same radical of Iwahori, and so it implies this.
Yes, question. What does it mean for the category for C to contain C of I naught?
So
what does contain mean here? I'm missing something.
So yeah. Here's the logical statement. So suppose that C is a subcategory with the following two properties. So it's a subcategory, it should be closed under the action, and it contains these two subcategories.
Yes.
Then the conclusion is sort of all of this implies that C naught is equal to C.
Can I interrupt again? Is it true that we should interpret this statement as saying that there's some particular two objects of the two category of local geometric elements which generate the whole kind?
Yes.
Is that expected to be true always?
No. It's special for GL2. Yeah, just like this statement is very special for GL2. In fact, there's a nice spectral interpretation of what's going on, but maybe I'm out of time. So,
you would say C of I naught. So is C of I naught an object in C or subcategory?
It's a subcategory. So, like for instance, for these D modules on the Grassmannian, I'm looking at the subcategory of D modules that are constant along Schubert cells. And so.
Was some home from C or to C from some.
Yes, it's both. Yeah.
How do you think about the home?
If you have an object which is I naught equivariant, you can convolve with it, and that gives you a functor of the kind you said.
Okay.
It's a technical question that maybe we should talk about afterwards. Yeah, but it's like if there were no subgroup, then like then I would be saying that an object is the same thing as a G of K equivariant functor from D modules on G of K to my category, which is like functor of act on my object. So that's the story. Maybe I'll just say out loud, you know, there was something in the abstract about connection with local Langlands that might be of interest to people. So there's, this I'll just say out loud. So there's this idea of Frenkel and Gaitskori that there should be some kind of local geometric Langlands. So for instance, if you have a G-check local system on the puncture disk, there should be a category attached to it with a G of K action, with an action of this loop group. And they proposed a formula for it. You should choose an upper structure on your local system, and you should take critical level Katz-Moody representations with that central character. It's not at all clear that it's independent of the upper choice, and this theorem shows it in the first kind of non-trivial case. So it says that for GL2, you know, the category you get in this way, for GL2 and for these regular uppers, so in particular the trivial local system, you get a category which is independent of that construction. Because you can just identify both of them with suitable D modules on the Grassmannian, and so the end. Questions? There are things I was going to return to. What happens for Iwahori? The answer is that -2 rho comes back to haunt you. So secretly in Valence and Bernstein, I did left D modules. Here I was secretly doing right D modules. And you run into that when you do Iwahori. So it won't be exact anymore. So there's a version of the equivalence, but you have to be more careful about your T structure somehow in order to get exactness. I didn't do it in the paper, but that's sort of from the same kind of reasoning should prove the analogous conjecture in that setting. There's kind of a bunch of versions of this conjecture, and this is the easiest one to formulate. But.
Does anything change about the sort of over story?
Yes, you should do nilpotent uppers. So it's yeah. So you allow a bigger class of them. Basically, you do the ones that are like the central character of the Fermat module instead of the central character of the vacuum.
Right, because this is like a parabolic category.
Right, and in fact, I could have enhanced this story. I could have not just looked at regular uppers, but uppers on the trivial local system, like the local system on the disk, and again, the results hold, but I didn't put them in my paper. Similarly, in the Iwahori setting, you can work with uppers on, you know, local systems with unipotent monodromy, and that would again be true and should be within reach for GL2. Story. Thanks.